Okay, Rabbi Sai, Shavua Tov to everyone. Shavua Tov. This daf in Mesechet Sota brought you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Memhei, but we are actually going to do Memdalad Amud Beis starting because we stopped at the new Perek, which is why Yerachmiel, Sir Richard, is here today with us to introduce the correct version of Phaeton.
Phaeton the Helika Perek.
So before we start Phaeton on, let's just get a little bit of a background over here while we wait for our other troops to show up. So let's go over the psukim that we have over here in Shoftim, the closing of Shoftim, and see what the diyukim are that we're going to have to figure out. And so before I begin, I just want to point out that this is, on the surface, obviously the reason that we're talking about the Sugya Vegla Rufa was because we had dealt with the Sugya of Eilu Ne'amarim B'chol Lashon, Eilu Ne'amarim B'Lashon HaKodesh, and one of the inyanim that were said only in Lashon HaKodesh was the Lashon of the Vegla Rufa. So, okay, so now we're going to discuss the Vegla Rufa. Obviously, there is a far more fundamental relationship over here in that there are two places where the Torah teaches us to deal with elements of suffix that the Kohanim are going to actually use their special status of Kohanim to bring a solution or an ending to the suffix. One of them is Seita and the other one is Egla Rufa. So in both cases, the Torah tells us how to proceed based on the not knowing. And in terms of the Seita, of course, we have all of the dinim, what things don't we know, and what's considered to be a proper suffix, which we learn out bechlal, all of the dinim, remember, suffix tumor b'shus harabim, suffix tumor b'shus yachid. It's a very profound element of dealing with suffix. And from Egla Rufa, we learn out another very profound element of dealing with suffix, and that is the concept of karov. So the din is where you have something that is misupak, and it's korov to one more than the other, and we go according to the korov. The mokum of the korov of that in the Torah is the idea of the Egla Rufa, as we're going to see. We're going to measure to see which city is closest, and that's the city that we're going to hold responsible for the murder on the road of somebody where we don't know who murdered them. Now, as it turns out, the other issue, which deals with suffix, which is, of course, the concept of rov, that element of rov, that is learned from the mitzias of the din, which is the achrei rabim lahatais. In other words, the concept of the kahuna and the shoftim and the sanhedrin and their interrelationship with sveikes is very profound. So the etzem din of rov is learned out from the Tzak of Beis Din Bichlal. The din of Safek Tuma Brishas HaRabim and Safek Tuma Brishas HaYochid, the relationship to Chazaka, all of that is learned from Seita. And the din of Korev is learned from Egla Arufa. In all of these cases, we find the involvement specifically of Kayanim and Mishpat. And of course, Kayanim are deeply related to HaKohen VaShofet, Moshe Yubayim Yimayim. And therefore, there is some kind of profound relationship of these sugyas bichlal, which is why they come together here in Seita. So let's go over the psukim and see what the yukim we can make in Parsha Shoftim. Ki yimatze chalal ba'adama, asher adonai Elohecha noten lecha l'rishta nofel basadeh, lo noda mihikohu. It's a number of strange issues over here. First of all, chalal, as opposed to just a mate. So, or a harug, or a nirtzach. So clearly it's talking about somebody that was murdered, but the question is the halal a specific type of murder, as opposed to just a general nirtzach? That remains to be seen. And then it says, nofel is fallen. Usually somebody dead is fallen. What does exactly it mean, that he's fallen? And then it says, basadeh. Basadeh is, does it mean literally basadeh? And couldn't it be anywhere? And when it says ki yimatse, You might say, remember, we had that whole Loshen that seems to be saying something unexpected specifically. Does that come to exclude, like it does by the din of Shiluach HaKein? Does it come to exclude something that is not expected, that is expected? I mean, all of these things we'll discuss. V'yatsuzi keidecha v'shoftecha u'madadu el ha'arim asher sevivot echalal. This raises a number of questions. Zikeinecha and Shoftecha, meaning which Zikeinecha and Shoftecha, from Beis Din HaGadol, from Yerushalayim, the local, and when it says they should be modeid, the Arim Asher Sevivot Echalal, I mean, that's a pretty broad statement, Echalal. I mean, the Echalal himself may stretch over 6 feet, you know? So what do we mean? The one closest to his head, the one closest to his toes, the one, what exactly is that? Now over here, we have a strange similarity to the Parah Aduma. And there it says, Lo Allah Aleha Ol. Is there a difference between Lo Mashcha Ba'ol and Allah Aleha Ol? Seems to be a big difference, no? I mean, Mashcha Ba'ol sounds like it had to actually have done work with that ol. Whereas by the Parah Aduma, seems the moment it's you actually put a yoke on it, it passes it from being a paraduma. The other problem with this pasuk is why does it repeat asher lo ubadba with the lo mashchabal? If asher lo ubadba means didn't work at all with it, so then what's the point of saying the lo mashchabal? The horidu ziknei yirahia ta'agla b'nachal itan asher lo ye'avedbo v'lo yizarea. Now, does that mean that they take this egla to a place which shall not be worked and shall not be planted, or that has not been worked, has not been planted? That we're going to have to see, because usually when you say the word asher lo, it's referring to the past, not to the future, right? A place where, and yet the language lo ye aved yizorea certainly bears some element of interpretation of the future. So these Kohanim apparently are not the same thing as the Zekeinecha v'Shoftecha. And when it says v'nikshu, v'nikshu usually means let them come forward. And what do they do when they come forward? It doesn't say that they do anything. It just says v'nikshu. I mean, are they doing the Arifa? I mean, it said before the Ziknei Ha'ir do the Arifa. Haridu Ziknei Ha'ir v'or v'sham ha'egla. So what exactly do these Kohanim do when they're v'nikshu? And then v'yanu v'yamru, v'chol z'knei ha'ir ahi, sorry, akruvim el ha'chalal, yirchatsu et yideihem al ha'egla ha'rufa v'nachal, v'yanu v'yamru, yadeinu lo shafchu et adam hazeh, ve'einenu lo ra'u. Kaper li'amcha Yisrael asher padisu adonai, v'al titein dam naki bekerav amcha Yisrael, v'ni kaper lehem hadam. So actually, it turns out that the way the Gemara understands it is that the v'nikshua kohanim means that they're ready to respond to the moment that the ziknei ha'ir wash their hands over the egla rufa and say, we did not do this, which doesn't really make sense. Obviously, we never thought they did it. Is that the point? Of course, we know what this is about. We've already talked about it earlier, but we'll go over it again. But it means that they didn't have an opportunity to prevent it by being malava the person or by saying to it that he had sufficient food so that he wouldn't get into trouble on the way. And then the next piece, Kaper L'Amcha Yisrael, that is what the Kohanim say when it says V'nikshua Kohanim, except that there's waiting there. And when the Zekanim said their piece, the Kohanim say that piece. Kaper L'Amcha Yisrael, V'yatitei Dam Naki. And then the last words in the pasuk, v'nikaper lehem adam, they don't say that. That the Torah is telling us. It's as if the Shekhinah announces that if you do this, then v'nikaper lehem adam. V'yata tevaer adam anakim mikirbecha, We'll see. Well, we already did that, I thought. Kitas ha'yashar b'nei Hashem. Is that a different ceremony or something that we're supposed to do? That part isn't very clear. Okay, so now the other thing that we said is that Egla Rufa has to be B'lashon HaKodesh. So let us begin now the Mishnah. Egla Rufa B'lashon HaKodesh. Shenemar ki matzei chalal ba'adama v'yatzu zekeinecha v'shoftecha. Which makes no sense. There's no mention in those words, ki matzei chalal ba'adama v'yatzu zekeinecha v'shoftecha. There's no mention of Lashon at all. Forget about Lashon HaKodesh. So that means the Kinechav Shoftecha means from the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, that means from the Lishkas HaGrozis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamisha, there have to be five of the members of Sanhedrin. Shinema Zekenecha, which Lashon Rabbim, that's a minimum of two. Shoftecha is a minimum of two. And that gives us four, but that wouldn't make any sense because you never can have a Beitin Shakul, and if we want Zekinim, then they have to be able to arrive at a conclusion. And since Ein Beitin Shakul, Mosifim Aleim Od Echad, so if we're given four in the Pesukim, in the words of the Pasuk, that means that we actually have to have five. Im Tzatamun Bagal, suppose we find this maze, the murder victim, and we find him covered by stones. Or maybe he's hanging off of a tree. Or maybe he's floating on the water. But we can tell that he was murdered. We see the bullet. Lo yorfi. We do not do the arifa. Because look at the pasuk. And we were medayik this. It says, ba'adama. So what's about ba'adama? Asher Hashem lokecha noten means that it's not hidden. But it's on the land so that you can actually see him. So he's not covered by a bunch of rocks. No fell, and it says that he fell, which means that he's not hanging. And he's on the sadeh, which adds an additional point, which means that it's not a place where he's simply floating on the water. Furthermore, if he was nimtza samuch l'svar, suppose he is near the border of Eretz Yisrael with Chutz La'aretz. So then even in the case where there would be a city on the other side, and the maze is closer to that, we don't look at that city. Or he's next to a town that is mostly of the Kochovi. Or he's next to a town that does not have a Bezdin. Then, lo ayu orfim. And there would be no arifa. This is not true, as we'll see in the Gemara. This is a mistake, and therefore, because of this, the correct girsa is lo hayu modedin. Because it turns out that there's a fascinating halacha over here. In the case where we have a city nearby that doesn't have a bezdin, it's not that we don't do arifa, it's that we skip that nearby city, and we go to the next nearest city to make them responsible. Now, obviously, this shows you that what we're doing over here, all of these halachas show you this, what we're doing over here is a mitzvah of medita that the Torah gave us. It is not in any way meant to discover who's really responsible, because obviously, if there's a closer town, then we're going to go another 20 miles, because that town didn't happen to have a bezdin of Chof Gimel, which is what it's referring to. It doesn't make any sense. It might even have the same population as the other town. Why do I say the same population, not a bigger population? Because there's another strange issue, which makes this whole thing almost entirely moot. And that is, remember that we have two different ways of dealing with a suffix. One is Koroi, which is the Medida here to the closest town. But the other is Rov. What if you have a contradiction between Rov and Korov? What if one town has more population and another town is closer? So as it turns out, we paskin that Rov and Korov, the Rov is Odiv. But if the Rov is Odiv, then that means that this whole din of measuring is only Nogeo where we don't have a Rov. But that makes it almost ridiculously inappropriate to ever do it. I mean, where are we going to get two towns that have the same population? And you don't have a row over one town over the other town. So that means that the whole idea over here is essentially a theory. In other words, it's telling us all types of very important halachas. First of all, the concept of Korach. Secondly, the dinim of Levaya, and of seeing to it, taking responsibility for the area that's around you. The relationship of every city in Eretz Yisrael to the Beis Din HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim, the interconnection of the Beis Din HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim to the local Beis Din, the fact that a city without a Beis Din doesn't have any responsibility, which is another reason to see to it that that the city that's roy to Beis Din, and remember that just about any city, remember we talked about the halacha in the Rambam, that the number of people you need in a city to have a Beis Din of Chof Gimel is laughable. So in any event, it's clearly once again teaching us that the issue is not really the murder, because then what's nothing, what do I care if he's hidden under rocks or if he's hanging from a tree or if he's open on the surface? I mean, it's always be the same. You go away, go away. Sari, leave. Bye. You're working on it, you idiot. Gosh. If you have to work on going away, then you're not really very useful at all, are you? Jeez. I didn't know how to get rid of this stupid thing. Anyway. Right. So again, this is a fascinating general halacha, right? Okay, so that means that some of these and all of the dinim are not really the same, because in some, lo hayu moedadim, and in some, lo hayu orfim. So in a case, let's say, where you have a town of the Avodah Zarah, over there we don't do an Arifa and Venegla at all, as we'll see, because it's not considered to be Yimatse. In a case where there's no Beis Din, we do the Arifa, but we skip the Medida in that particular city, but we go to the next nearest city. Okay, anyway, the Mishnah started off by saying that we know that you have to speak Lashon HaKodesh. When it says you, who is you have to speak Lashon HaKodesh? There's two speeches here. One that is said by the Kayanim, and that's the Kaper L'Amcha Yisrael, and one that is said by the Zakenim, Yadenu Lo Shafchu, and so on and so forth. Both of those need to be B'Loshon HaKodesh. But the Mishnah says that the way I know it needs to be B'Loshon HaKodesh is because it says in the Pasuk, and then it just quotes the opening of the Pasuk. I mean, what in the world? Where does it say anything about over there? It says, Ki Yimatse Chalal. What does it have to do with saying anything? Omer Rabbi Abohu, no. The Mishnah expects you to understand that what I'm doing now is opening the doorway to understanding the entire Seder of the Egla Rufa. Here is the parsha that you have to look into. If you look into this parsha, you will also discover that in it it says, Ve'anu Ve'amru, and therefore you'll know that we learn it out from our Grizim and our Evil again. So, Shenemra Ve'anu Ve'amru, V'lahalun Amru Ve'anu Alavim Ve'amru, just like our Grizim and Evil, it's B'Loshon HaKodesh, as we proved over there, Afkan B'Loshon HaKodesh. And then, having opened that up, the Mishnah goes on to say, V'seder, Egla Rufa Ketzad, what's the next step? How do we actually get to that point where we're going to get to the actual talking? Well, Ki Yimatzei Chalal Ba'adamah, V'yatzu Zikeinecha V'shoftecha, Shor Shebi Beis Din HaGadol, Shebi Yerushalayim HaYotzim, etc., etc. So in other words, the opening Mishnah over here is spreading before us the entire Parsha, focusing on a couple of points, one of which is the Yonu V'Yomru, and the other one is the Zekedecha V'Shoftecha, and then the Mishnayos that follow are going to continue focusing on the other things, like Toloi B'Ilan. That's actually a separate Mishnah, but it follows here in the print of the same Mishnah. So the V'Yonu, the Ba'adama, and that means it has to be on the top of the Adama, and the fact that it cannot be Mechusa, and then we have this Soda, but not on the water, and that it's no fail, and it's not hanging from a tree, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Chamisha, and here's the Braisa with the details of the Machlokes, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Yehuda. Tan Rabban, V'yatzu Zekeinecha V'shoftecha. Zekeinecha are Shnayim, Shoftecha are an additional Shnayim. Ein Beis Din Shakur, Mosifim Alayim Od Echad, Areikan Chamisha, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zekeinecha is Shnayim. He doesn't darshan the shoftecha. Ve'ein beitin shakul, basif aliyam odechad, arei kan shlosha. So all we need is a bezdin of three. Well, says the Gemara, what do you mean? But I mean, it says Shoftecha. What does Rabbi Shimon do with the Shoftecha? No, Shoftecha tells me that we're talking about the Miuchadim Shebeshoftecha, meaning that it comes from the Lushkas Hagozes. Otherwise, what would they, I mean, you could just take anybody, no? You know, that's true, actually. So then, where does Rabbi Yehuda know that from? Because he uses the word Shoftecha to tell me an additional too. No, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, it says Zikinecha. It could have said Ziknei. Ziknei Shoftecha. If it says Zikinecha, Zikinecha means those specific Zikinim that are the ones that are Miyuchad, which means they have to be members of the Lishkas Hagozes. That's a good point, actually. So why can't Rabbi Shimon learn it from that? Because Rabbi Shimon says that suppose the Torah had said Ziknei and it hadn't said Zikinecha. So then I would have said it could be even Ziknei Hashuk. Why would it have to do with the, forget about that we need people from Sanhedrin. You can bring any three people. You can constitute a best and to do measurements. I mean, it doesn't have to be someone that's a choshev. Because of Rahman is a Zikinecha to tell me that it has to be people that are actually in the Bezdin. Suppose it would have said Zikinecha. A people in the Bezdin could be Bezdin of Esri Mishloisha, right? I mean, they could also be from very Chosh of a Bezdin. So why isn't that good enough? A Filus and Hedri Kitana. That's why I hold you need Shoftecha to tell me Miyuchadim Shepe Shoftecha. And that's Dafka Sanhedrin. But you can't learn that out without using the Shoftecha. That's what I hold. So, okay. So if the words of Kenecha is not enough, so then how does Rabbi Yehuda know it? Because he uses the Shoftecha to tell me the number of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right about that. But the way that I know that it has to be Dafka from the Lishkas HaGazis is I learn a Gzera Shova. It says Ziknei and it says Ziknei. So one of them, it says, by the din of Par Helam Dovo Shal Tzibur. So it says over there that the Ziknei Ha'eda, they have to, by the Par Helam Dovo, they have to do Smicha, and they're the ones, Samchu Ziknei Ha'eda, Tidem Arosh HaPar, and then V'shachat HaTapar L'fnei Hashem, all of that is part of the Seder of the Hakrova of Par Helam Dovo Shal Tzibur, which is only the Par that's brought by the Bezdin HaGadol. So just like over there, it's referring to the Miuchadim Shebeida. So here too, since it says Ziknei, it's got to mean the same thing because of the Gzera Shava. Here too, it means the Miuchadim. Excuse me, but that doesn't make any sense. Because if you're really being Semich on a Gzera Shava, so how many, and it makes no sense, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda specifically. This is Rabbi Yehuda we're talking about. Rabbi Yehuda learns from the Pasuk over there in the Sugya, of Par Helam Dovo Shel Tzibur. Rabbi Yehuda learns that you need five different Zikanim by making that diak over there. So then why would he need Zikanecha Vishoftecha over here? Which is ostensibly, that's the basis of his limud. If he has the Gzerah Shavah, then he knows it automatically because he's learning out from the Ziknei Ha'eda that it says by Par Helam Dovo Shel Tzibur. So then he can learn the number from there too. So why would we have Zikinecha Vishoftecha as the marker? That can't be there for Rabbi Yehuda's marker. So where is Rabbi Yehuda's marker? You're right. Forget about that Gzerah Shavah. There's no such Gzerah Shavah. It's the Vav of Vishoftecha that tells me use Shoftecha for two things. Shoftecha tells me who they are. Vishoftecha means add them to the Zikinim. So then that means add to Shoftim to the two Zikinim. As to who are these Zikinim and Shoftim, they are the Miuchadim, the ones that are called Shoftecha. Fine. And Rabbi Shimon, why couldn't he learn it from that? And say both, you should have the Vav and the Yichud, instead of dedicating the whole world Shoftecha to tell me that it's referring to Bezdin HaGadol. Vav lo mashmame. So therefore, the whole point is, Miuchadim shebe Shoftecha. Okay, ask the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that every indication of Loshon Rabbi is another two, so why don't we darshan every one of them? Elamiata, V'yotzu, Umadadu. So we should learn from there. Add another two because of the Loshon of Yitzia. Add another two for the Loshon of the Medina. which, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds 5, should now add 4 more, which would be 9. According to Rabbi Shimon, holds of 2, so then we should add over here. I mean, it holds of the 3 because the extra 1, so we should add 4 to make it 7. So we should say Arikan Shiva. No, each one, the Madadu and the Yatsu, I have a need for it to tell me a din. That comes to tell me that they themselves have to be the ones that go, and they cannot send a shliach from the Bezdan. And Umadadu comes to tell me that Medida is a mitzvah on its own. So suppose it's obvious that this mace is right next to a big city. There's no point of doing any Medida. The nearest other town is 20 miles away. So you would think, okay, obviously, Medida would only be where we need to determine. Comes along the pasuk to say, I don't care what the situation is. The Medida means that there's a mitzvah, lasok b'medida, even if I know immediately what this nagia and who it is, you still have to go and to be modeed specifically. All right. So in other words, what we want is for the area to be oisek in this issue. And you understand that the piersum of this, best and coming from Yerushalayim to do the medida on this, or surveyors come out. It's like a major thing. And because of this, it creates a very profound sensation among the people that live all around the area when they see this going on, of the nature of responsibility. And not only that, but it also means that people that know what happened might be able to come forward with information. That's how the Rambam explains it in the Mirah. So whatever it is, both issues obviously are central to this whole idea, is the creation of that sense of responsibility and awareness. And this is so similar to so many of the other inyanim of Shoftim, which are built around that issue, especially as we've spoken about the inyan of the Orei Miklat and the creation of the roads to the Orei Miklat and the Achrayas and the Bezdin, it should be Yerushalayim for the Orei Miklat. These are incredible social insights into a whole different way of living in Eretz Yisrael. Also, this is Nogea, the big machlokas, because does it mean that you do a medida between the two obvious nearest towns? Or does it mean that in all directions you do a medida, even though in the same way that it was next to one town, you're still going to do a medida? So then even though if we have two towns that are close, we should still do a medida in every possible direction, even though we know, we can see clearly which one is closer. Anyway, it says over here that only either, according to one Madiyama, either we have 7 coming out, or we have five coming out, or we have 3 coming out, but that would mean that the Mishnah is not going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who holds that there's a big extra presence that's required over here. Zekenecha, we learn, is the Sanhedrin. He also agrees it's the Sanhedrin. But Shoftecha, he understands to mean that means the Melech has to come. Can you imagine? And the Kohen Gadol has to come. Melech, why do we say Shoftecha is the Melech? Yes, the ultimate Shofet. It says Melech b'mishpat yamid oretz. That means that he is seen as the ultimate judge in the Kohen Gadol, because it says u'batel ha'kohanim ha'leviim ve'ela shofet asher yeh b'yomim ahem. So that means that we understand that the goddess of the kahuna includes the aspect of mishpat. So therefore, shoftecha means the shoftecha, the highest of the kohanim and the highest of the shoftim of the land, who is the melech. So it certainly doesn't say that in our Mishnah, not a word about that. And another thing, I'm not even sure that now that you're telling me that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the word Zekenecha means Sanhedrin, and the word Shoftecha means Melech and Kohen Gadol. So then the Zekenecha, according to him, may mean the entire Sanhedrin. Not 2 members of Sanhedrin, but Sanhedrin. That's what it sounds like, the way he's talking. You know, he's saying Sanhedrin plus the king plus the Kohen Gadol. It's like a completely different thing. My gosh, So did he mean that? Yibailu. Was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov arguing on the Mandiomrim in our Mishnah only benogea the question of whether you also need the Melech LeKohen Gadol? Or was he also arguing about the idea of Sanhedrin? And he holds that you need the entire Sanhedrin, and when it comes to the Zikei Necher, he doesn't agree not with Rabbi Yehuda or with Rabbi Shimon. So let's see that insight. Yibailu. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov ben Melech LeKohen Gadol alone, he's arguing. But when it comes to the Sanhedrin, I'm not sure who he agrees with, but it could be either with Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. So maybe it would be three, maybe it would be five, or maybe he argues on the whole idea. But you need the entire Sanhedrin. Ad ika kuli Sanhedrin. On Rabbi Yosef, I'll prove to you what he holds. It's very simple. Toshma. Mitza ansakin mamri abit pagi. Vim raliyah. So we have over here, remember, there's another din. That is Nogea Dafka, the Sanhedrin in Lishkas Haglasis. What is that din? That's the din of a Zokin Mamre. So if a Zokin who is Roy for Hayra, and he refuses to accept the din that the Bezdin Hagodol Shebi Yerushalayim tells him, and he goes and he's Meira Halacha, not like them, so then he is killed. And that's, remember, we had the whole question, can they be Meichel? You remember, we're talking about a Baal who's Meichel, either on his kiyum, or Baal is Meichel on his kinui, or Sanhedrin, that's Meichel. Remember, we had the whole question. We said, the one thing you can't be Meichel is the Zakei Mamre, because that will lead to more than one Torah be Israel. Anyway, so here it talks about a case where the Zakei Mamre meets some of the Sanhedrin, I guess. He says, Mitzahan, I don't know what that means. I mean, he met the whole Sanhedrin? That's what we're going to try to figure out. He meets them a Beipagi. Beipagi was a specific place, but over here means anywhere within a circle drawn around Yerushalayim. So they're not in the Lishkas HaGazis. And he argues with them there. So Yochel Te'amra HaTamra, you might think that that's B'chai of him, and he's called a rebellious Zakein. Tamulomar V'kamta V'alita El HaMakom. No. It's Dafka HaMakom Goreim, has to be in that place, namely the Lishkas HaGazis, where the Beis Din HaGadol is Yoshev. But any place else, it is not Mechayev the Zakein Mamre. Now, I ask you, Mr. Gavi, who has disappeared, I ask you, what does this mean? Does this mean that how many people did he find? Well, the Nofuk Kamen, how many people left Beis Din? You're going to say maybe three went out, five went out, 10 went out. Is that what the case is? Obviously not. Because then how could you say that he refused to accept their Hayra? We have no idea what they hold. Maybe if the ones back in the Lishkas HaGazis would hear what the Zokin Mamre has to say, so maybe they would agree with him. So how can you say that he's married against Sanhedrin? He's not married against Sanhedrin. He tells these guys, listen, you don't know what you're talking about. You go back to your Lishkas HaGazis, you'll find out everybody agrees with me. Okay, so then that's not called Amrada. So it can't be that only some of them went out, right? So, So it must be that all of the Sanhedrin came, and therefore it's considered to be Amrada. The problem is, they're not allowed to go out. Who am I? What did they leave for? Ilit Vararishus. It is usur for Sanhedrin to ever leave that Lishkas HaGazis. Mimotsui Nafik? They can't go out stam. Vyaksiv Shorecha Gan Hasahar Al Yechesar HaMozek. This is a beautiful pasuk in Shashirim speaking about his lover's belly button. Your navel looks like a beautiful moon. What's it called? Half Moon Bay. It's a lovely place. Anyway, it's a beautiful thing to say to a lover, but what does it mean in terms of the idea of a year? Well, it's referring to Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is basically at the center, at the navel of the world, and brings the nourishment is coming through that president. And therefore, it tells us, Lo yechasa al yechasa ha-mazeg. You should never be lacking in sufficient wine, meaning never be lacking in sufficient people that are going to be able to paskin. So that teaches us halacha lemaisa. If you want to leave the Sanhedrin, so every member of Sanhedrin has a little digital counter in front of him, how many people are currently sitting in Sanhedrin. If it's registering less than the 23, he's not allowed to leave because he's needed, and that's the minimum mezek. So he's allowed to leave if after he leaves, there'll still be 23. So at least it'll be the equivalent of a mozeg for a Sanhedrin Ketana. But Imlav, he's not allowed to leave. So how could the whole Sanhedrin have gotten up and left chambers? It's Osir. Yalopshita, it must be that they had to go out for a Dvar Mitzvah. What Dvar Mitzvah? Aha, says Rabbi Yosef. There's only one Dvar Mitzvah I can think of. And that Dvar Mitzvah is that they had to go out for Egla Rufa. Well, I thought you only need two members for Egla Rufa, three members or five members. Ah, apparently this is Rabbi Eliezer, exactly proves what you were looking for. He argues, therefore, Rabbi Ben Yaakov, not only about the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, he's clearly arguing and holds the entire Sanhedrin has got to go out. Pshita l'dvar mitzvah. You tell me what that mitzvah is, huh? Lav l'medida d'egla, and it's got to be going. Going for Rabbi Ben Yaakov. There you go. Amalei Abaya, that is really cute, but it's not a good enough proof. Because I can give you another mitzvah that maybe they went out for. Because after all, it says in the Mishnah, in order to add to the Kedusha, Sirushalayim, to the size, or to the Azoras of the Beis HaMikdash, you need to have a Beis Din Shel Shivim V'Yachad, plus the two Toidos, you know, the whole procession. But the point is that Beis Din HaGadol would have to leave the Lishkas HaGosis, and that's a Terech HaMitzvah. So you can't bring a Raya from here. Lamaisa, however, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef is right. Because the Braisa says, Beferish, the Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov actually does require the Sanhedrin to leave for the Egla Ruva. And what does it say in the Braisa? The Braisa shows that Rabbi Yezer was right on the ball, because it brings the Raya, Gufa, from this. Mitzana Beit Pagi, Vimra Alehem. And how would that be possible? Kegon explains the Braisa. Sheyotzu l'medidat Egla l'ozif ala yirva l'azarot. Yeah, Abai is also right, but it doesn't change the fact that it says over here Beferish that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the Beis Din would have gone out in its complete membership. They would have left in order to do the Egla Rufa. So Yocho Te Amrato Hamra'at Amanom V'kam Talita Alamakom Malamit Shamakom Goren. But meanwhile, what's important for our purposes at this moment is that Rabbi Yosef is correct. I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The entire Beis Din goes out. Now we said, Nimtza Tamun Begalo, Talui Be'ilan. So we darshan this from Ba'adama. So if it would be on the Adama, it must be Ba'adama, meaning on the Adama. That's very weird, because we know that there's a machlokus about exactly this issue. It seems to be dependent on how to read that word Ba. In, does that mean inside of, or does that mean on top of Ba'adama? Because, I mean, this seems to be going a little bit, not the Rabbanon. Where do we have this machlokas? There's another issue of Tamun by the murder victim here in Egla Rufa, but we also have a din of Tamun, Legabe Shikha. Suppose there is something that you forgot in the field. There's an Omer that you forgot in the field, but the reason that you forgot it in the field was it because it was covered with something else. So you didn't see it when you went to take it. So there we have an interesting machlokas. Is there a different shachachta omer basadeh? Same language we have here, ba'adama. So we find over there that according to Reb Yehuda, this means, well, if it's tamun, so then that means that it's considered to be not shik. So says Reb Yehuda. So the Chachomim say, no, on the contrary, Basadeh means even if it's underground, meaning it's hidden in the Sadeh. So then, by the same token, Ba'adama would mean that it's hidden in the Adama. So then apparently, if we're darshaning Ba'adama to mean that it has to be exposed on the surface of the Adama, so then we're going Bedafka like Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Chachomim, it means exactly the opposite, that even if the mace would be in the Adama, meaning Tomud Ba'adama, it should also be included in Egel Arufa. Oh, my Rav, you gentlemen forget the most important issues in Drusha. This is Rav's famous maimer. He says this many times. Context, my friends. Context is everything. First look at the context, then decide how you're going to be Derish, okay? So obviously, here we're talking about Ki Matzei Chalal. So Ki Matzei, what would that word mean, Ki Matzei? The word Ki Matzei is wherever he's found, right? I mean, that's the point. You stumble over something you didn't expect to find there. You were digging for the foundations of a building, whatever, and all of a sudden you uncover this mace there, correct? So that would mean, if it wouldn't have said Ba'adama, so I would have known that wherever you would find it, even if it's Talmud. If it then says Ba'adama, what is it coming to teach me? I mean, where else? On Mars? So the idea over here of the Ba'adama would therefore be coming to tell me Dafka Prat LaTalmud, because contextually what it would be adding would mean that it has to be on the land, not in the land. Masha Enkain over there, where we're talking about the Shikha, contextually, it's exactly the opposite, because Hasa Minyana Dikra, because since it says, Ki Tiktsor Kitzircha Bisadecha, Mishachachta Omer. So it puts together Kitzircha with Shachachta, right? So I would say, okay, so then that implies that the Shikha is the same as the Katsira. Katsir, by definition, is exposed. I mean, you can't cut something if it's underground. So Ma Katsir Begalui. So then the Pasuk would be saying that the Shikha means that it was something that you should have taken because you could see it and you didn't take it. So that's what it would imply. And therefore, I would know myself that if it was underground or covered by a bunch of stones, so then it would not be Shikha. Therefore, when it says Basadeh, it's coming to add something I wouldn't have known before. And it's telling me Lerabot et Atamun. In this case, it means even if it's under a pile of rocks, it's still considered to be Shikhan. So then what exactly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said that the Pasuk is according to him, means that Shikha is not included. We said he learned that from the word Basadeh, but that doesn't make sense. According to what Rav just said, we don't need Basadeh, the Rabbi Yehuda Nami. If you said, according to Rab, that the Shikha being put together with Kotzer means by definition that it's exposed, why does he need a Pasuk to tell me that? You're right. He doesn't really. In Achinami. Okay, so then what does Basadeh mean according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because according to us, contextually, it's telling me that it's not like I would have thought, right? And that it is considered anyone to be Shikha. So how does Rabbi Yehuda understand that? Ah, that he says is something else. Basadeh comes to tell me that even though the entire parsha of Shikha was referring to Omer, Shachachta Omer Basadeh, and Omer is already cut, you've tied it, it's a sheev, all very fancy. What about if you just left an actual growing stalk of grain? You didn't get around to being good to that at all. Is that called Shikha, or that's not Shikha because it hasn't reached the state of Omer? Comes along by Sadeh to tell me, even if this thing is still growing in the field and it's attached to the Sadeh, it's still considered to be Shikha, and you can't go back to be Kitzer it any more than you could go back to take in the Omer. So how did Rabbanan know that? Rabbanan, Shikhat Kama Minaluhu. How does Rabbanan know that even a Shikha of a growing actual stalk is considered to be Shikha? They learned that from the Pasuk of Ki Tiktsor Kitzircha Bisadecha Vishachachta. So since it puts together Basadecha Vishachachta, it's telling me even if it was Shachachta, while it's Bisadecha. Okay, so Rav Yehuda could have done that also, no? I mean, why does Rav Yehuda need that extra word Basadeh that comes later? Because Rav Yehuda can't learn that. Rav Yehuda Miboileta Rav Yavoram Rav Elazar. He uses this part of the pasuk to tell me a whole different halacha. Tell me Rav Elazar. If a wind comes and it blows your omer into an adjoining field, you don't see those omer because they've been blown away. So in a case where tzafu omarim v'toch tzedei chaveiro, your omarim have essentially floated away. It's strange language. I mean, obviously it means they were blown away. So it's coming to tell me that in that case, it's not considered mishika because it wasn't in your field anymore. Ah, so how did Rabbanan know that? The Rabbanan, they say that, look, it doesn't have to say b'sadecha. It could have said, ki tiktsor kitzircha b'sadeh. Instead it says b'sadecha. So that teaches me one additional halacha. And that is that only things that are b'sadecha, but if they're blown into the next guy's field, so then they're not considered to be shikha. So then we don't need the other part of the pasuk to tell me that. Wait, so, and Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds that once you're talking about kitzircha, the use of the word b'sadecha is just normal. It's not, I mean, I say, when you're going to harvest your kitzir in a field, what does that mean? Obviously, it's in a field. So, the only normal way to say that would be, you're going to take your harvest in your field. That's the way you would say it. So, therefore, it's not an extra word. And he's not going to be, the correct gears over here is not lo mashmalai, but lo dorish. He doesn't see that as being ro'i ledrisha. By Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Okay, you talked about a omarim that blew away into another guy's field. Suppose omarim blow away in your field. So in other words, you left omarim over there in the sada. Wind comes, blows them onto the top of your barn. So now they're on your barn roof. You don't see them on the field. So is that considered to be shikha or not? Do we say the avir of the sada, it's still in your sada? So you have to leave it there. Or do we say, no, it's not, it's no longer a shikha b'sadecha. Omar Rav Kana Rav Papi, or some say Rav Kana said to Rav Zid. Well, obviously the answer to that is clear, isn't it? I mean, we just learned exactly this halacha that Rabbi Avohu said, Rabbi Avohu and Rabbi Lozer said, that we needed the pasuk to tell me that in the case where your omarim were blown away into the next guy's field, that over there it's not shikha. So then that means that only because it floated into the next guy's field. But if it would float up to the top of your barn in your own field, that then it would be considered to be shikha. So you see, the chavero in, because you're not sensitive to things in the next guy's field. But if it would be in your own field, it would be considered to be a shikha. So the chavero, yes, but the toksadeu, that doesn't potter you from shikha. It's considered to be part of your sada. No. I mean, you honestly believe that Rabbi Avu's psak over there is only because it was blown into the other guy's field. So meaning they're now on top of his barn. What if they would be on the ground? So it would be different. I mean, it wouldn't be different because it would not be in Sadecha. It doesn't matter in the least whether they blew in, meaning floated up to the top of a tree somewhere or the top of his barn, or whether they blew in by lying on the ground. So therefore, the din of blowing away, floating, well, that must be why we're using the word floating. They are currently floating, meaning they're not on the ground. Obviously, they floated because they blew there. That's the point of the floats. Ah, now I understand. So if that's the case, obviously, they don't have to be floating, even if it be toch tzedei chaveiro, even if they would be munachim. So why does it talk about floating away? Because how else did they get there? So we use the word floating away to make it, you know, just clear. They floated out of your field, meaning they were blown away into there, but doesn't mean they're not on the ground. So you cannot bring a raya that if they would be in my field and they would maybe floating takes them away from the chiyuv even in your own field. Tashma, okay, I'll bring you a raya. Omer shechzik bo lo licho le'ir. Guy picks up an omer and he wanted to toss it onto a wagon to take it to town. And he had another pile and there was no room in his truck. So he puts it down on top of the other pile for a minute, right? So I have one omer on top of another omer. So nicho agabe chaveiro, and then he forgot, and he never went and brought it into town. So what's it then over there? Well, the one on the bottom is shikha, but the one on top is not shikha. Reb Shimon ben Yudai and Mishum Reb Shimon, neither of them are shikha. The bottom one isn't Shikra because it's Tamun. And we said that if it's hidden, it's not Shikra. The top one is not Shikra because it's floating and it's not on the ground in this Sada. So what do you see? The only machlokas between Rabbi Ben Yehuda and the Tanakhama is on the bottom one. The Tanakhama said that it is Shikra. And Rabbi Ben Yehuda says it's not. But when it comes to the top one, apparently everybody agrees that things floating, even in your own area of Sada, are not considered to be Shikra. No, that's not why. It's because you picked it up to put it on a wagon. Once you picked it up, if you set it down again, it's not Shikra. That's the issue. You picked it up, now you're a Zoch. It's part of your part of your katzir. So given the Achzik Bey, Zochabey, because you were going to take it to town. So now if you forget it after that, it's not considered to be Shikra. You had something in your backpack and you left your backpack on a bench. It's not Shikra. That's the point. So if you already picked it up, it has nothing to do with it's floating on the top of the other one. So I understand. So then why did we talk about a case where it's floating? Why did we say, did you put it on another one of an Omarim? You could have even put it down on the ground. You could have. The only reason that we talked about putting it on the other one is because we wanted to discuss whether the other one was Tamun or not. So obviously, if I hadn't put it down on another one, I couldn't have discussed that. So Adi Tani Agabi Chavero is because of the discussion about the Tachton. Well, but how can you say that? In the Braita, it says Beferish, that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says that the top one is not considered to be Shikra because it is Tzav. And you're telling me it's not because it's Tzav, it's because it's his. Now he means it's this Ema Bipneshu Kitzav. It's like he's still holding it and waving it in his hand. That's what it's saying. So that Bechlal, it's not Shaykh to Shikra. Now, Abaye one day was really feeling pretty high, you know. Abaye used to get these manic kind of feelings every once in a while, in which he was ready to take on any taker. To take on any taker, the only guy who ever did that, I mean, that was Ben Azai. Because about Ben Azai, it says, all the others that came in, compared to Ben Azai, they're all Keklipas Hashum, right? So Abaye was feeling really good one day. And he says, okay, I'm ready, boys. Arenike Ben Azai Beshuke Tveria. Okay, let's see. Anybody ask me anything and see if I can't answer you. All right, I got a question for you. Suppose you have two bodies, two murder victims, one on top of the other. Where would you measure? Would you measure from the top guy, from the bottom guy? My question is like this. There's a lot of issues over here that need to be discussed. First of all, we're dealing with min b'minai, right? So min b'minai, you could say that if I'm seeing the top dead body, so then I'm seeing dead bodies, because after all, it's the same thing. Dead bodies are dead bodies. So even though I don't notice there's anything underneath it, but that maybe that's not called Tamun. I'm not sure. So first of all, my question is min b'mino, is it Tamun? Maybe min b'mino is Tamun, but min b'mino is not considered to be Tzav. I mean, it's not lying on something else. It's dead bodies all the way down. You know, so that's not considered to be tzaf. So maybe that would be the way to look at it. In which case, the only place that you'd measure for the egla rufa would be from the top body. Oh, Dilma, min b'mino have a tzaf. Maybe that's not true. Maybe min b'mino is actually the opposite. It's considered to be up there in the air because I have no idea what's under it. But it's not called tomun because I'm looking at a dead body. So therefore, I would only be modeid from the bottom one. Or maybe min b'minai is tamun and tzav, in which case I wouldn't bring a negla roof at all. I wouldn't be modeid, not mi tachton, not mi elyon. I don't know how to look at that. Come on, Abaye. You're Ben Azai. You tell me. Amalei Abaye, it's simple. My gosh, I thought somebody was going to ask me something difficult. This? That's a push of the Braisa. The Braisa says that if you picked up an omer, loliko le'ir, and you put that omer on top of another omer, and then you forgot it, it says beferish. The one on the bottom is shikha. The one on the top is not shikha. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says neither of them are shikha, mishum Rabbi Shimon. And the reason that he gives is the bottom one is considered to be not shikha because it's tamun, and the upper one is considered not to be shikha because it's tzaf. Now, the assumption at this point, what Abaya was assuming, and everybody was assuming around here that we're standing there clapping at Abaya, Savarua, they assumed that Hani Tanoik Rebuta Sviralum, the Omer Bisadeh Prata Tomun. It's a given that everybody holds that if it is tamun, so then it's not going to be included in shikha. That's a given. So then what's the machlokas over here between the Tanakam, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, must be that Mar Savar Min B'Minoi is Tamun, and that's Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Umar Savar Min B'Minoi Lo Habe Tamun. So there you go. The answer to your question is that if you have two dead bodies, it would be dependent in this machlokas. Says Gemara, this is not a Ben Azai level solution. Why is that? Look, because maybe I could tell you, look, if they all agreed with Rabbi Yehuda, so then it could be that Kuli Alma Min Bimino is considered to be Tamun. And the Machlokas over here is not about the Min Bimino. They're arguing over here, Gufa, in the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether Tamun is Chayv and Shikha or not. So the Rabbanan over here, the Tanakama meaning here, go according to the Tanakama there, who hold that even Tomun is Shikha, whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds that Tomun Bichlal is not Shikha. Nah, that can't be, because then why would we be discussing Yochi? My Ayre Al-Gabi Chaveirai Afilu Be'afaru B'tzor Nami. If the whole point over here is that it's, you're telling me that it's covered, so then it could be that it was covered with dirt. I mean, it would have to be covered dafka with another one if the issue is not min b'minai. Enochinami, I hold the machlokis between the Tanakam and Shum ben Yehuda would be even if it was covered with dust. Makes no difference. The reason that we wanted to say this case where we had one omer on top of the other omer is in order to tell you how far Rabbi Yehuda was ready to go. Lo diach hakochad Rabbi Yehuda, he holds min b'mino is considered to be tamun also, not only if it's covered with things like pebbles and so on, even if it was covered by another omer. So you would say, oh, so I see it. No, I don't see it. And even there, it wouldn't be considered to be shikha. Tamar Rabbana. So it says over there, kimatzeh chalal. Chalal means he has to have been murdered by some type of knife or something, but not that he was strangled to death. Chalal means he's dead, and not that he's mefarper. We don't find him in his death throes. He's actually dead. Well, Adama, we said, lo tafun bagal, tamun bagal. Nofel, lo tolui bi'ilan. Ba'sadeh, lo tzafa pnei amayim. That we had said all in the Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Elazar, it turns out, argues on everything except the first thing. Bikulan, in all of these cases, as long as it was a halal with a knife, then we would do the arifa. Tanya, so the Braiser, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Elazar, excuse me, if you're agreeing that we're going to be derish in the pasuk, that halal means not chanuk, mutoba ashpa, that we would not do arifa, right? So why don't you agree to all of the diukim? Why only halal you agree to? Meaning that you agree that halal means dafka chaluk and not chanuk, right? Dafka murdered with the knife. So hakanami, why not say adama means dafka adama lo tamun begal? Why not say nofel means nofel velo tolui bilan? Why not say basadeh means basadeh velo tzaf agabe amayim? Rebbe Lezer says there's a big difference. Halal, you know how many times it says the word halal in this parsha? It keeps talking about the halal. So therefore, we have a lot of halal yetera. We never use a pronoun. We say the halal every time. Vashenkin, all of these other words. I don't think if they're not extra words, I don't think that ipso facto they imply exactly what you're saying. Now, you say, Nimtza Samach L'Sfarah L'Ir Sh'Ruba Ovdei Kochavim, that there was no Dichtiv. What's the marker for that? Ki Yimatze means Prat L'Matsui. Now, Prat L'Matsui, there's a number of different approaches, and there's also a number of different Girsaot. So, Prat L'Matsui means if you would expect to find someone killed, meaning that obviously, if you're walking through Harlem in the middle of the night, you don't expect to make it through to the other side, or at least once upon a time when there were other kind of people in Harlem. So, you know, gentrification can even cure Aza one day. But meanwhile, if you're walking through Aza, you do not expect to make it alive. So that would be Prat L'Matsui. So if you're in a kvar, that is Ruba of Dekochavim, so obviously there are murderers there. That's one approach. There's another girsa, a fascinating girsa, that says Prat L'Mamtzi Et Atzmo. Not if this person is suicidal. So if he wanted to go along a place near these towns where there's all these Arab terrorists and he's killed, that's not considered to be Mechayim an Egla Rufa. That's the point. Oleir She'ein Ba Beit Din is actually in the Yerushalmi. It just says it's a Sfora because it says Lo Noda Miko. And over here, you know damn well who killed him. So why? That's a completely different gears. Only ear she'ein ba beit din, the be'ina ziknei ha'ir. If there's no ziknei ha'ir, so who are you going to have do the egla rufa? And then we repeat ourselves. Ein ba beit din, ela le'ir she'esh ba beit din. Well, obviously, didn't you just say a minute ago that if it's an ear she'ein ba beit din, that we don't do the medida? So, I mean, I'm pretty smart, you know. I figured out all on my own. Ana yadana. Sort of repetitious, I think. No, it's not at all repetitious. Because the point is that the Mishnah is telling us what the Braita says. Minayin she'im nimtza somuch le'ir she'ein ba beit din. Not that we don't do the Medida, that we skip and we do the Medida to the next city. That's why it said, Ein Modedin, you don't do the Medida to the town without. You do the Medida, however, by skipping that town. That's what it's coming to tell me. So how do we know? Sheminichon ota Modedin le'ir she'yesh ba beit din. Tamid lomar v'lokhu ziknei ha'ir ha'hi. That is, again, if it's going to, I mean, it said, right, ha'ir, that is korov to the halal. So what all it should have said is, what's the Airahi? If it's telling me, wherever that is, wherever the Zekanim are of the closest town that there are Zekanim, they bring in Egla Rufa, even if they're not the Krovim. Okay, Sir Richard, go for it. Zucked.
Zucked the Helika Mishnah.
Nimtza mechuvan ben shtei ayarot. So suppose they do the medida, and the mace turns out to be precisely in the middle between two towns. What's the din? Shtehen beviot shtei agalot. Each one of them brings one egla rufa, which means in the end that we have two eglot arufot on the same mate. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Ve'en Yerushalayim bevia egla rufa, another halacha, not associated with this, is that Yerushalayim, it is not part of the medidot. And another halacha, nimtza rosho b'makom echad v'gufo b'makom acher. Suppose the mate was decapitated, and the head is found in one place, and the body is found in a different place. So where does the head go, or where does the body go? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, we molechin harosh etzel haguf, and Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Akiva, we bring the body to the head. We'll see what this is all about in the Gemara. Me'ayin ayu modedim. Now, it's certainly possible that one part of the body is closer to one city, and another part is closer to another city. So from where on the body do we measure? So Rabbi Eliezer omer mitiburo, we start from his navel, and Rabbi Akiva omer michotamo, from his notes. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer Therchita, Mimakom shenaaseh halal. And since the concept of halal is the knife, particularly where somebody slit his throat, so that would be mitzavaro. All of this to be discussed in the Gemara. So what is the basis of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that we could bring shtei agalot? Because, I mean, first of all, the pashtus is that it says egla. Egla is one, not agalot. So, I mean, do we actually allow two separate towns to bring? And there's another question. Do we rely on our measurement to such an extent that we would say that it's precisely between two cities? I mean, it seems a little bit ridiculous. But what are we using actually over here? We're utilizing lasers to measure. I mean, what does this mean precisely? Doesn't it leave us with some kind of suffix as to which one is the closer? And therefore, maybe they should pool their funds and together they should fund an Igla Rufa. As we said, the actual Igla Rufa is very important. The Medida itself is very important. We had a number of shitas. We mentioned about this yesterday, that the reason that the Torah would be mechayev us to do Medida no matter what, even though it's clear it's near Ba'alil, we know which city it's next to. There's many, many reasons. First of all, there's the idea of the pirsum, of responsibility that people have to take for wayfarers, the din of Levaya that we're going to be discussing that comes from here, the concept of seeing to it that people have sufficient food when they're on the road, the general idea of there being a responsibility for the area around you, and that it's not just a matter of protecting yourself, but that your city and your life is part of the yishuv of the Aretz Chlom. The other issue, of course, was that, as the Rambam says, when it's going to be so mefursam, and they're doing this measuring and so on, it may very likely be that witnesses come forward. And they know who did the murder. The Chizkuni says that there's a further very important issue, which is that we don't know who the guy is over here. He's basically a meis mitzvah. If we are mefarsim, the whole inyan, with all of this busy stuff, with people coming all the way from the Bezdan, Agadol, and Yerushalayim, makes a tremendous amount of noise, not only in terms of identifying the murderer, but in terms of identifying the harug. So that the family will come, they'll take responsibility for him, giving him covered in the kvura, and so on and so forth. There's many different hebetim on this. And fine, that I understand. But that we can actually measure to such an extent that it's exact, and that we can bring two, where is that from? Well, this is, remember, a famous machlokas. Efshal etzamtzem or e efshal etzamtzem. So do we consider a measurement to be an actual tzimtzum? And that's koveya lahalaka, according to Rabbi Eliezer, efshal etzamtzem. And if the measurement turns out, this is like all shiurim. Obviously, when we're talking about measurements, we're not talking about plank lengths over here. We're talking about what the halacha is always koveya in terms of measurement. So this would be, is a very, very broad kind of spectrum over here, because, I mean, we know we're ready to settle on la halacha, on using 3 for pi, you know, and we're ready to settle on using 1.4 as the square root of 2 and things like that. This is paskin la halacha. So the question is a measurement considered to be binding that it should be exactly the same? And that's called tzimtzum. So he holds yes, if shalat tzimtzum. So if you measure it, it turns out to be exactly the same. So then it's not a suffix. But what about the other problem? Is the Torah allowing us to bring two eglot? Yes, because even though it says krova, and that's mashma, that you have to settle on a particular town that's krova, and if you have more than one town, so then it would be begetter suffix, in which case it would be, I'm sorry, not, I shouldn't say begetter suffix, it would be begetter shared responsibility, and therefore there would be none. He doesn't learn that way. He holds krova is just Dibra Kosov Bahoved, that the norm is Krovot, but of course, Lemais, if it turns out that they're Krovot, Krovot would be included in Krovot. The next thing that the Mishnah said is that in Yerushalayim, maybe Egla Rufa, why is that? because since it says Badamashem Panashem Lokecholakam Lurishta, and that means that it has to be part of the Yerusha Sa'aretz. Yerusha Sa'aretz includes dividing Eretz Yisrael between the Shvatim. And the Tana here holds that Yerushalayim lo nitchal kol ha'shvatim. Yerushalayim was a national nachala, but not a nachala that we can define this individual or this shevet. Because of this, it's not considered to be part of Yerusha. Nimtza rosho b'makom echad v'gufo b'makom acher. So have a machlokes Reb Eliezer, Reb Akiva. According to Reb Eliezer, the head is reunited with the body, and according to Reb Akiva, the body is reunited with the head. Now, what is this about? In terms of what? Do you think that this is a question of where we measure from? Do we measure from the head or do we measure from the body? That doesn't make sense because Hamidiktani Seifa, Me'ayin Ayumodadim, the next piece of the Mishnah introduces the question of where on the body do we measure from? So, we're not talking about measurement yet. So what are we talking about? We didn't open up the Mishnah with the question of where it is that we measure from. What are we talking about? Amar Rebbe Yitzchak, we're talking about the din that a meit mitzvah is kana mikomo kamiflage, that where we identify a meit and it doesn't have kovrim, and now we're going to take responsibility. The halacha over there is that the meit is buried where he's found. And now the question is, if we have part of the meit in one place and part of the meit in the other place, where is the mokom of the kvura that he's kena? That's what we're arguing about. Sochikama. Lekovro, in terms of burying him, which is not nogea the egla roof, but the din over there is kana mekoma. So what would mekoma be? Heichad nimtza rosha b'mokom echad v'gufo b'mokom acher, according to Rebbe Eliezer, malachin rosha etzel aguf. And that's the Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Akiva, omer malachin aguf etzel arosh. What are they arguing about? So b'maikam, if it's very interesting, because in the Yerushalmi, this point, it's considered to be nogea, the territory. In other words, it depends on whether you're on a slope or whether you're on a hill. So there, they're not really arguing. So the question is that there would be times where we would expect that a decapitated head would roll down away, but certainly not going to roll up. And there would be times where we would expect that if there was movement up, it's possible that depending on the head being in a place where it wouldn't have rolled and the body being found higher than that, that it's certainly possible that the body continued to move after it was decapitated. So this machlokes in the Yerushalmi is actually dependent, not on the machlokes, but rather on what do we consider to be more reasonable, depending on the territory. So that's the topology of what's going on. Over here, the Gemara doesn't mention that at all. So b'maikam iflagei, marzov agufei beduchti nofil resha de nadi v'nofil. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that if this guy was decapitated, so then his body would have fallen in that place, and then the blow to the head would have caused it to fall perhaps somewhere else if we find that it's separated. Whereas Marsav or Rabbi Akiva on the other hand holds that Dafka Reisha Echna Nofel Nofel, the decapitated head is unable to move. Masha Enkein, a decapitated body is able to move. And therefore, Gufo Hu Derayit V'Ozil. Next question. Where do we actually measure from? Since the measurement has to be a precise medida, as we already saw, we're hoping to avoid a situation where we end up having exactly the same measurement from one town to another. So, of course, it's important for us to define from what part of the body do we measure. So what exactly would they be arguing from? That according to Rabbi Akiva, we measure from his nose. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we measure from his navel. What's the point? Well, b'maikam iflagei, Mar Savar, according to Rabbi Akiva, Iker chiyute is ba'ape. We consider the main source of life is in his ability to intake oxygen. And because of that, we say, okay, here is where the Nishmat Chaim, so to speak, was pasak. So that's where he's dead. Mar Savar Iker chiyute b'tibure. Masha'en Ken, Rebbe Eliezer holds that we want to talk about the place where the initial formation of his body, where his nourishment was coming from the placenta. That initial placenta was coming through his navel. So his connection to life, essentially, his ikar chayusa, comes from that life force that came to him from his placenta. So lema kiani tanoi. So does that mean that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer is the same machlokas that we have about meheichan havlad notzar? This is a braita. Where exactly does a fetus begin forming? So where would be the identifiable differentiation of fetal cells? So one man Yomar says the differentiation that first becomes clear is rosho. And gozi is always a reference to the head, the hair on the head. Gozin is rech vashlichi. So that would mean that we look at the head as being the essential formation, because the development of the entire fetus is going to be ultimately guided by the nerve centers that start forming a brain, and that becomes the guidance of the original pluripotent cells in which they're going to each find themselves. Whereas Abba Shaul says, no. I mean, actually, what we have to look at is the nourishment that's coming from the placenta, and therefore it's the tiburo that we say is sending out life, so to speak. And mishaleach shorsho, elach ve'elach. So it seems to be that this braita, whoever the Tanakama is, holds like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says you measure from the nose, which is on the head, masha einkein. Abba Shaul is apparently saying the same sheet as Rabbi Eliezer, who says that by the mace and our halacha of Egla Rufa, we should take a look at the tibur. Says there is no connection between the two. Afilu tema Abba Shaul. You can say that Abba Shaul agrees with Rabbi Akiva over here, because the only time that Abba Shaul says, let's look at the navel and the initial placental formation. Afkan lokomar Abba Shaul alini yitzira. Over there, we're talking about the way in which an embryo forms. So obviously, the center will be where we get that initial nourishment, and therefore, the chimit tzad velad, mimitziasi mitzar. If you're talking about early fetal formation, it would be around its source of nourishment. But what does that have to do with later on, when we have a fully formed human, and now he's been murdered? We want to talk about that. That could very well be that Kuliyom is made in it biape. I mean, it says, Kol asher nishmat ruach hayim biapav. We're talking about the Mabul. So how does it define the death of life in the Mabul? Everything that needs oxygen. So if it's underwater, it can't get its oxygen. So, I mean, that's called nishmat chayim. So maybe over there, everybody would agree with Rabbi Akiva. So there's no connection between this machlokas and our Mishnah. Next thing that we learn in our Mishnah is that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, mimakom shenaaseh chalal. And what is that? Mitzavaro. So what is this based on? My time to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that we say the word chalal, I mean, the word chalal could mean just a murdered person. No? No, because he's saying, look, it says, letet otcha, al savarei chalalei rishayimayu. So there we're talking about it specifically chalal in terms of tzavar, which implies that in Lashon HaKodesh, the meaning, the central meaning of chalal relates indeed to a neck. Because of that, we want to define it as the, according to him, as the actual mokom hamedita.